Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
How are you? Thanks. So I got my my wisdom teeth out. I had all four surgically removed, and at the time, I was dating a woman that had her own business, and getting my wisdom teeth out, I had to have somebody drive me and also sign in agreeing that they were going to drive me home. And so my ex did not want to take any time off of work to drive me, or drive me back. She would drive me there. That was the plan. She said, I'll drive you there. I will sign you in, but then I'm going to leave. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. I was 24, and somebody was basically just saying, I'm going to leave you for dead. And I was like, totally fine with me. So she signs me in, she takes off, and then I get put under, and they take out my wisdom teeth. And when they rolled my gurney in to my room where I was supposed to rest, they moved me from the gurney to the hospital bed. And in that move, I woke up and remembered that I did not have a ride home. I was like, okay, I gotta escape. So I concocted this plan that just basically meant I was gonna hop up off the bed and run out of the hospital. And I was so drugged. Like, I had just been under, like, basically dead. So I was running through the halls of the hospital all crooked and got out to my car. I was like, I only live like a couple of miles from the hospital, but it was still, it was a major situation. And so I get into my car, I start it up, I drive off, and I get to the first stop traffic light, and I was awoken when I rear-ended the car in front of me. I mean, how long could the light have been? 30 seconds? I don't know, but I was so relaxed, and my foot just, I guess, just slid off the brake. And then I gently tapped the car in front of me. And then he got out and came up to my window, and he was like, what's going on? I was just like, yeah, sorry about that. And he was like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, totally fine. I drive off. I get home. And I lived in this three-story Victorian house, and I lived on the attic, in the attic, and my two closest friends that I grew up with and had moved all around the country with lived in the apartment below me. And when I pulled up, I saw my friend Leslie's car parked there. It's like, oh, good, Leslie's home. And the medication, it was starting to wear off. And I needed to get back to the hospital. So I had four gaping holes in my mouth. So I went up on Beth and Leslie's deck, and they had this glass door. Again, I saw Leslie's car parked there, the glass door, and then they had this curtain covering the glass with like this little bit at the bottom where you could see into their house. And I was banging on the door. I was like, Leslie! Leslie! No response. And I'm so drugged that I start to make up in my mind that she's in there and she does not want to help me. So then I'm lying on the patio, peeking through that window, just lying on the patio, just banging, Leslie! Just like, come on. Like, she didn't know what was going on because I was too embarrassed to tell my friends that my ex didn't want to take the day off to, you know, because they'd be like, why didn't she? And I'm like, eh. So I'm banging. I've created in my head, she didn't want to help me out. So I go around. I go down the steps of the patio down to the first floor. I go around to the front of the house. And I think if she is home and she just didn't hear me, I'm going to start yelling up to the front of the house. So when I came around, there was this woman lying on a, why is my vocabulary so limited? Not a hammock, any other guesses? Not a sofa. No. Should I just end the story here? I should have learned these words first. Okay, like you lie in them to get sun. Lounge chair, that's all I was looking for. Don't look at me like that. She was like, lounge chair. Call it whatever you want. We could even say it was a hammock. It doesn't matter. We could say she was sitting on a tree trunk. She was lying there, sunbathing. So I came around, and when she saw me come around, she was like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I just, do you know Leslie and Beth? And she was like, she was just, no. Okay, my friends Leslie and Beth live on the second floor. And they're not answering their door. And I need a ride to the hospital. Have you seen him? And she was like, no. She felt very, I think, vulnerable lying there in her bikini. And she was clearly a new neighbor because the people in the basement had moved out. And that's what I added up. This is our new neighbor. So I was like, okay. So I go back around, just one more attempt. Go back up to the... What are the it's made of wood. It is a porch. What was the other guess though? Deck. I like that too. You really need to drop your attitude. Yeah, you with a bad attitude needs to be dropped. So I go over to the wooden porch. You know what? I'm not going to be treated like this. Yes, I am. It's clear that I am going to be treated this way. I went up to the... Now I'm being treated really bad. It wasn't that. It was the deck/porch/... You know what it was. I went back up there. When I went up to the deck, it was a horrifying sight. There was blood trailing all the way to Beth and Leslie's door. I'm not stupid. I'm horrified now. And I'm like, with more energy, Leslie! Leslie! Somebody has killed Leslie. And I think she has plotted against me, and now I'm feeling bad because I didn't even notice this trail of blood that is my friend. So I'm banging on the door. The door opens. This time the door opens. Leslie opens the door, and she's like, "Oh my God!" And I was like, "Ludley!" You guys, I didn't know it. You're not going to believe whose blood that was on that wooden area. That was my blood. I had trailed that blood on their porch. And so Leslie, she didn't know I had my wisdom teeth out. So she opens her door, sees, not only am I bleeding, but my lip is numb. I'm like, my whole mouth is numb. And I'm supposed to be asleep still. I'm supposed to be lying in a hospital bed. But I've driven in a moving, one of those four wheel, I was in a car driving through town with four bloody gaping holes in my mouth. Get there. I thought Leslie was dead. I don't know what she thought was going on. I actually never asked her. But I still feel horribly for the woman that was sunbathing. I mean, at least the guy that I had rear-ended was at least like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. What could possibly be the problem? Can't somebody nap in between traffic lights?" There was no damage done to his car, so I was kind of like, "What is your problem?" But I appreciated that he was like, "Are you okay?" Whereas the woman sunbathing, no question, just a person with blood pouring out of their mouth and down their shirt comes around the corner. And I was like, "Hi, I need to, I'm trying to get to the hospital." And she's like, "Yeah, I haven't seen Leslie." You guys, that is my story for you. Thank you so much, Jeanette. Should I get my microphone off of here?
Tig Notaro, this is Soundcheck Live from the Green Space.
We're just going to stand here.
That's a pretty good trick, getting the audience to tell half your story for you.
Well, yeah.
Supplying all the vocabulary as it fails you.
Why do you have headphones on? Why don't I have headphones on?
I don't know why I have headphones on. They put them on me when I come down here, and I don't know why.
All right.
It's fashionable.
It looks good, yeah. Thank you.
Covers my ears, which are headphone-shaped.
Yes.
Where did this story take place? Was this California?
I just made it up. That's not true. It took place in Denver.
Okay.
Yeah.
The story goes that you did move to California, not with the intent of being a comic, but being a musician, right? You had ideas of singing, playing guitar, that sort of thing?
No, I do play guitar and drums. Yes, but but I got into music business, and so I started working with bands. And Beth and Leslie were moving to. We grew up together in Texas as kids, and Leslie and I didn't have any direction in life. Oh, just real quick, I just remembered the reason Leslie didn't answer the door. This makes no sense, but now it does. But Beth had come home on her lunch break and picked Leslie up. That's why Leslie's car was parked there. and dropped her off while I was in front, bleeding in front of the woman in front of the house. While I was like, ah, blah, blah. Leslie came home. So that ties up that part. But yeah. So Leslie and I just followed Beth wherever she went. And Beth had direction in life and went to school and college and master's, all that kind of stuff. And so we were like, oh, I guess we're moving to L.A. now. But I was not ever like, I'm going to go make it big or any level. I was I was just like, I guess I'll go where they're going.
But do you keep it up? Do you still play?
No, not really. I mean, I've played here and there.
Yeah.
I had plans of having a cover band called Pushin' 40. And it just seems like that's what you do around that age. You play in a cover band. Uh-huh. And I'd had that idea for so long that I am now past 40. And so I'm pushing from the other side.
What? So the name would still work then.
It would. It's like, yeah, you're just, everybody's pushing from different directions.
So at what point did you sort of come to the realization that you were a Taylor Dane fan and that you were in fact going to own that?
I thought you were going to say, in fact, the only one.
Yeah, she sold a lot of records.
Yeah, she had. When did I realize I was a Taylor Dane fan? When I heard her voice, I was like, I signed up immediately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people think I'm it's a bit, or that I like her ironically, and I don't. I am a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I also like really cheesy country music. And I'm on a very hip indie rock label, and I like all that stuff too, but I also like a lot of other stuff.
Well, you know, one of the questions we're asking everybody, including members of our audience here tonight, is, what was the first record you ever bought with your own money? Do you remember?
I do. The Pretenders 2. Yeah, I'm a crazy Chrissy Hynde fan. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So
it was in the discount bin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a young teenager.
Right. Where'd you get the money? You have a job or?
No.
Perish the thought.
Yeah,
a teenager with a job.
I imagine, I don't know, probably my mother gave me, you know, 10 or 20 bucks to go to the mall.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, a Pretenders cassette.
Oh, it was a cassette?
It was a cassette.
Nice.
I had a bunch of Beatles and Rolling Stones records, but I didn't buy those. We had a friend from England that would come over and visit and stay with us, and he would bring us Beatles and Rolling Stones records. Like we couldn't get those in the States. But we were just like, oh my gosh, Chris Pape brought us more Beatles vinyl. You know, we were just, it was so exciting to get new Beatles records.
Well, so now you have the new record out coming soon called Live.
No, it's called Live. I see how you would make that mistake.
Yeah.
And in fact, I named the album that just for that moment that just happened. There's so many albums, as you know, called.
I'm pleased to have stepped right into it for you.
You know, so many bands or, you know, comedians at so-and-so live. And I always thought it would be funny. Oh, what if you called it Live? And then I almost died like 3 times. And then my mother died, and I was just like, oh, well, I guess it makes sense. I'll call my album Live. And then people pronounce it wrong.
All right, Tig, I know when I'm beat. The album is called Live or Live or whatever it is.
Well, let me go into it again. It's actually called Live. I almost died 3 times last year, and my mother died, and then I decided to call my album Live.
How do you do that? How do you get people to laugh at you saying that your mother died? Is there something wrong with
us? Were
they
laughing?
They were laughing.
Not cool, guys. I don't think they're laughing at my mother dying. They're laughing at me almost dying 3 times.
Yeah.
And naming my album Live.
Live.
And not Live.
out on July 16th.
Okay. Again, it's July.
Okay. This from the woman who couldn't remember the word porch or lounge chair.
How did this turn into a fight? I'll fight you.
Public radio,
I'm fighting
man.
This woman after the show. I don't care that she has glasses. I'll take you down.
Public radio, Tig. It's a contact sport. Mm-hmm. Thank you for playing.
Thanks for having... Is it time for me to leave?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Tig Notaro.